I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before the Lord God, my Maker. For Jesus, you are my God, and I am a person of your pasture, and a sheep of your hand, just a sheep of your hand. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before you, Jesus, my Lord, my God. I come, I worship, I bow down, and I kneel before you, Lord God, my Maker. For you, Jesus, are my God, and I am a person of your pasture, just a sheep of your hand, just a sheep of your hand.
Well, Father, we do thank you that we have the opportunity to come before your presence, into your presence. Thank you for allowing us to come. Couldn't come except by the righteousness of Jesus, the blood of Jesus. And Lord, we know that so many people are dishonoring you in this day. But for us, on this day and every day of our lives, with every minute and every breath, we'll thank you and give you thanksgiving and recognize that we don't have to wait for the world to honor you. We honor you. And yes, it is amazing grace that taught our hearts to fear, and yet that amazing grace, our fears relieved. Thank you. And Holy Spirit, as always, when we go to the Word of God, to the Holy Bible, we would never be able to understand it just from human intellect or human intervention or human understanding. We would best understand from your teaching us and showing us the depth of God's Word. We thank you. We praise you. In your name, Jesus, we pray in your presence. Amen and amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, today, we're going to continue studying these principles of God's kingdom, which we'll call them laws of God's kingdom, because they're immutable. And we'll also call them not only laws of God's kingdom that are immutable, principles of God's kingdom. And of course, just to recap what we looked at last week, the law of reciprocity. This week we'll be looking at the law of use. In weeks to come, the law of perseverance, the law of responsibility, the law of greatness, the law of unity, the law of fidelity, the law of change, the law of miracles, the law of dominion. And then in our final week in the series, we'll be studying the coming king. So we're going to read today from Scripture, Matthew chapter 25. You'll turn there with me, Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And when you have it, you can say amen. Matthew chapter 25. Here in our study group, there are how many verses there, Cameron?
Not there.
Okay, sit up, pay attention. We're in a multi-generational Bible study here where we older ones teach the younger ones to respect the Lord and know His Word. So if you need help, ask for it and finding it. Matthew chapter 25. Okay, and how many verses are in this chapter?
46.
Correct. All right, so Sean, how many verses will each of us read?
46 verses.
Six?
46 verses. There's four of us.
Eight.
There's 46 verses and there's four of us.
Ten?
All right, you got it. Stop. You're going to keep guessing until you get it right? I'm going to give you a pencil and a piece of paper and you're going to figure it out.
12.
What's 12 times 4?
Okay. 36.
No. 48.
Right. 11. Okay. 11, and there's two verses left over. Let me complete that for him. Each of us are going to read 11, and then there's two verses left over. So Sean will read those extra two verses. I think he needs to.
All right. That'll be good. Well, how about if I start off and we'll go this way?
All right, and Sean will do the last one.
Wonderful. Okay. I'm reading from the Geneva translation, and I'm reading Matthew 25, beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 11. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 foolish. The foolish took their lamps, but took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with them, with their lamps. Now while the bridegroom tarried long, all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, Give us of your oil, for our lamps are out. But the wise answered, saying, Not so, lest there will not be enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the gate was shut. Afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. I've just read from Matthew chapter 25, verses 1 through 11 in the Geneva translation.
I'm reading from the English Standard Version, verses 12 through 3.
Okay, read nice and loudly.
But he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither to the day nor the hour. For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1. To each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them. And he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward bringing 5 talents more, saying, Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. And he also...
I'm sorry, which verse were you on?
I'm on 22.
Oh, okay, go ahead and read that one.
And he also, to have the two talents came forward, saying, Master, you do owe me two talents. Here, I have made two talents more. I just read from the English Standard Version, verses 12 through 22.
And from the English Standard Version, Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 23. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little. I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master. He also, who had received the one talent, came forward, saying, Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours. But his master answered him, You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and at my coming I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. That was Matthew 24, verses 23 through 32 from the English Standard Version Bible.
I'm reading the New International Version, Matthew chapter 26, verses 33 through 46. He will put the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on the right, Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the king prepared you for you since creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will return, Lord, when did we see you hungry, or and feed you, or thirsty, and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger, and invite you in, or needing clothes, and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go visit you? The king will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. Then he will say to those on his left, Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not look after me. They also will answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger and you didn't clothe or sick in prison and did not help you? You will reply, Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for the least of these, you did not do for me. Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's right from the International Version, Matthew chapter 24, verses 32 through 46.
Matthew 25. Yeah. Okay, good. Well, as I said this week, we're going to be looking at the law of use. And basically, let me use as a theme in the law of use. Use it or lose it. We have to be willing to use what the Lord has given us. And if we're willing to use what the Lord has given us, we'll have more. Now, it doesn't make sense to a lot of people, but the truth of the matter is that a large number of people, certainly here in America and Europe in particular, have forsaken the principles of the kingdom. Now, this chapter has a variety of things in it, but I want to focus probably more of the center of the chapter, particularly beginning at verse 14 and 15, or 13, 14 and 15. And you probably recognize the passage of Scripture there. It's called the parable of the 10 talents. And you might ask the question, why is it called 10 talents instead of 5 talents? Because it doesn't mention 10 talents there. We'll talk about that in a minute. Use it or lose it. I remember when I was a boy growing up, we had a wonderful family doctor. Very different than the doctors today. He was very kindly, he was very educated, well trained, but he wasn't a pill pusher. It wasn't a pill for everything. You know, a lot of times you'd say, okay, you can't eat that, or you need to eat this, or you need to lose some weight, or you need to drink more water. I mean, it was some good stuff. But I remember him saying to me one time, use it or lose it. Now, as there were many things said to me when I was a boy that I didn't quite get till later on in life, and part of the reason why, as we are here today, and we've got 3 different generations teaching one another, sharing with one another, maybe the youngest among us at this point don't fully comprehend and understand what it is we're talking about. But particularly for you boys, I want you to understand that when we're saying the Word of God, you need to really pay close attention to what's being said there, because if you will, and you do, pay attention, and as you get older, you'll understand better, and you put these things to work in your life, you'll be a very blessed person to do that. And not looking around saying, well, other people aren't doing it. Other people don't use the principles of God's kingdom or the laws of God's kingdom, so I won't either. Or thinking that just because somebody identifies themselves as a Christian means that they're using the full principles of God's kingdom as they should. Basically, right now, what we're facing, not only in our country, but out throughout the world, is a new world order that's based on a vague amalgam, if you will, which is a mixing together of socialism and humanism and communism and religious syncretism of values. In other words, you know, mixed up values that somewhat seem like they're religious values, and maybe they are religious values in false religions. All this stuff mixing together and trying to come up with something that works, and it doesn't. We have been given in Scripture what works and what the Lord says, and though many people might disagree with it, I believe that the Lord has given us His Word. These are laws of the kingdom. Either we will use them or we'll lose them. And if we use them and use them in the Lord's way, we will be blessed and benefited by it, and the Lord will give us more to use. Makes sense. Who are you going to trust? Are you going to trust the trustworthy? Are you going to trust those that have shown themselves to understand? So a lot of our traditional Christian values are being abandoned. I don't think that's making for a better world. I don't think it's making for a better country. So when we adopt and implement God's plan and principles for success, I suppose it catches more people's attention when I say that, if I mention God's plan for success. But God's principles, the laws of His kingdom, like this, the law of use, are in fact His principles for success. But I can tell you right now is what we're facing in our country and a lot of places of the world. Short of a powerful Holy Spiritual-led revival and a concerted effort of Americans' true remnant Christians, that's us, the future's not all that promising for society in general or promising for our country. However, instead of destroying our hands up and saying there's nothing I can do, there's a lot that I can do as an individual. There's a lot each one of you can do as individuals. And as I've often said, and people have repeated it, we're either going to have a great awakening or we're going to have a rude awakening. Recently, David Barton has made the statement that he believes that there's a great awakening happening. And perhaps there is, because the news media is not going to necessarily promote that. But the truth of the matter is that there are people awakening to the truth of Christ each and every day, accepting Christ as their Savior each and every day, though we may not know that. And certainly a concerted effort on our part. When I say concerted effort, it's not like wake up and willy-nilly, well, maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. That we're determined to make sure that the gospel gets out in whatever ways that we can. Because the Lord has given us the gospel, so we use the gospel, so to speak, in our lives, or we lose it. And so basically, as we see what's happening, that we now have basically from Christ to chaos. A lot of what we're seeing in our society right now is chaos. Because instead of going with Christ, so to speak, doing the things that the Lord's shown us to do, and it's pretty clear, I think, here, what the Lord's trying to show us to do. So we'll say that this law of use is perhaps one of the most important of for human growth and development. They're all important laws. They're all important, and they, as I said earlier, secrets of the kingdom. They're only secret to people who don't want to be part of God's kingdom. But they're not secret to us if we're certainly wanting to hear from the Lord. So, but this particular one, the law of use, is probably one of the most important towards human growth and development. Now, let's set up the scenario there as we look at the parable of the 10 talents. It used to bother me when I would read that at first, that poor person that only had one talent, it was taken away from him, and he was cast out in utter darkness with his gnashing of teeth. I didn't think that was fair. I thought, well, would I do that to a poor person that, you know, whatever? But see, the first thing that came to me is, the Lord is always just, and he's always fair, and it's his creation. He can do anything he wants with it. Why would I think I'm more fair than the Lord God Almighty? So that was my first learning experience, we'll say, with that. The Holy Spirit said, you think you care more about that person than the Lord did? But this is part of the principle. And why did the person with the one talent hide it? Because they were basically, if you will, impotent or impotent with fear. And refused to do what the Lord had said to do. Refused to take what the Lord had given him and put it to work, improving on it. And so think about that from the standpoint of, okay, the one that was given 5 talents went out and used the 5 talents and got 10 talents. And so the Lord said, take that and there'll be more. Or the one with the 2 talents and invested that. Now, what does that mean, investing? I mean, we can look at investing usually is thought of as just money. But all of us have abilities and talents that God has given us, which some people, it's obvious that they have an ability to sing, and maybe they have the vocal cords, and they have the diaphragm, and they have the physical body to make it possible for them to sing. Or somebody that has a particular talent towards playing sports, and if they improve upon their exercise regimen and their health and whatever that they can do, they can play that better. Or somebody that just has a way of figuring things out and fixing things. I've known people that even when they were very young, they could take things apart, put them back together again, and fix things. They obviously were gifted of the Lord with some kind of a talent. But of course, what do you do with that talent? You've got to improve upon it. You take it, you invest it. You know, you take the 5 talents and you try to make 10 out of it. You take the 2, you try to make 4 out of it. You don't take the 1 and go hide it, because the Lord said, I didn't give it to you to hide it. I didn't give it to you to make you afraid. I gave it to you so that you could use it and that you could put it to use, improving on it. And so many of the things, for example, even as Americans, I think, okay, everyone is talking about foundational documents. But I look at it as the Lord gave us foundational documents, not so that we bury them and hide them, or the principles, for example, of the Bible. Some people, I remember when I first was saved, people criticized me because I wrote in my Bible. Or I underlined things in the Bible. They said, you're not supposed to do that. you're supposed to keep that Bible and don't let it get dirty and whatever else. It belongs to me. It's mine. I bought it. And I can't improve upon the Bible. That's the one thing you surely can't improve upon. You can't improve upon God. But to use it and employ it and to make it better in your life, as Psalm 119 verse 11 says, "Thy word have I placed on my heart that I wouldn't sin against thee." And so, what are some of the things that would help us to be like in the parable of the 10 talents there? First of all, how we would be able to use our gifts wisely and employ them and improve upon them. We pray, and it's as simple as this, and I know a lot of people don't like to hear it. We pray, we read the Bible, and we exercise, or in other words, put them to use. We put the understanding that we already have, that we're gaining from the Holy Spirit, that's why we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to be our teacher. And if we put that understanding to use, we're going to grow. It's as simple as that. Just the same as saying, okay, if you don't eat and if you don't drink water, you're not going to grow. You're going to die. You're not going to. So some of these things we see in physical life too, okay? Gee, I plant some seeds in the garden and don't put any attention towards them and I expect it's going to grow into a wonderful crop. No. You improve upon it by you plant the seeds, they start to grow, you weed, you water, you fertilize, and it grows into a better crop. I mean, that's just the way that it is. And this law of use, in a sense, is, and when we're working hand in hand with the law of use, it's really like a mathematical phenomenon, and it's basically known as the exponential curve. When we take what the Lord has given us and use it the way the Lord wants us to use it and use our gifts, we're going to grow. Just the same as it always fascinates me to think that an airplane can get off the ground. A huge airplane can get off the ground. How is that possible? But see, what happens with the power of the lift is a mathematical formula with the speed and the lift and so forth and the flaps. There's an exponential curve, and how it gets off, well, that happens in people's lives too. So, to want full accomplishment, and this is where most people, I think, fail. And particularly, they fail because they want full accomplishment immediately, which actually, full accomplishment immediately is lust. That's why lots of people, they'd rather spend money on scratch tickets, they'd rather gamble, because they have this desire for immediate accomplishment, and that's lust. And we know that lust is a sin, and it basically calls for a violation of the pattern of God. And see, it's also wanting something for nothing. And what do we call wanting something for nothing? Socialism and communism. And basically, socialism and communism feed on this kind of lust. Take it away from somebody else that earned it and give it to me. So I can have it now. They don't need it. And instead of studying what those people did, how did they use their gifts? How did they use their abilities? How did the Lord bless them? And find out the principles that they used. And do that. And be patient and not greedy and lustful. And not envious. And weeks ago we talked about that greed and envy is a type of selfishness, and it's definitely a sin. And if we have greed and envy, that means we're not going to fully function the way the Lord wants us to, and to be able to grow the way He wants. So let's just say, maybe in the law of use, that God's way is a gradual, but it's a sure way of growth and maturity, moving towards perfection. And of course, when we say moving towards perfection, that means moving towards the things of the Lord, moving to the ways of the Lord, or moving towards a completeness. Now, if people's goals are too low, that's why often I've said, I believe that it's important to set goals, to plan your work and work your plan. I believe that's been a great help to me throughout my life to accomplish things, and I'm thankful for what the Lord's helped me to do, using whatever available gifts that He gave me, whether it was 10 talents or or five talents or two talents or whatever else, but one thing's for sure, I have not been like the one that was afraid, impotent because of fear, and buried my talent and said, I don't want to lose it. And too often, and it's human nature, the fallen nature of man, to be afraid of losing it, but what I really am afraid of is not fulfilling what the Lord wants for my life. So, if people's goals are too low, or too stretched out, or too easy, they'll never really rise to any significant potential before time overtakes them. And I am in a place in my life where I'm realizing that time is starting to overtake me. It's like saying, my days of bench pressing 450 are probably over. It's probably unlikely that time has overtaken me. And that's a thought for all of us. Time, I remember the song back in the 50s and 60s, time won't let me. Time won't let me. Time won't let me. And a lot of these songs, it was interesting how a lot of the songs came from biblical truth. Not to say that necessarily, and I just heard the testimony of somebody who had been in a group called Grand Funk Railroad, who had been raised as a Christian and had fallen away, and then life kind of got messed up, and then came back to the Lord, and the wife came to the Lord, and everything. It was a great testimony. And so many of them realizing that, you know, that time had left them behind. You know, that when people say, well, you're not going to get any younger or whatever, well, I've had to tell a lot of people, including myself, you know what? The time has passed for you to do that.
Right. Doesn't that happen in stages, though? Like, the time for you to color with crayons was done in 1965. Yeah. Now, you know, and you're at this stage now where, like you said, time to bench 450 pounds, it's done.
That's true. That's
but
true.
But you still got plenty of time in this phase to do the task that the Lord has allowed you with in this phase.
That's right. That's true. That's very true. And of course, if in fact the goal was to bench press 450 pounds, I remember that I actually used to be able to leg press a couple of thousand pounds. And I've actually picked up in the past myself and another couple of guys who picked the Volkswagen off the ground, all four wheels on the ground, and moved it quite a distance. I don't think I will be doing that again, but I did it then, and because I did it then, I still have a certain amount of strength now. So it's investing that talent, what we have at the time, so that as things move on, we'll be able to do something else before time completely gets us, saying, you know what, your time's up, you're departing this earth. So use it or lose it. And of course, as often many people have heard from me, one of the greatest bits of wisdom that my father ever gave me, without explaining it to me, and maybe if he'd explained it to me at the time, I wouldn't have understood it, but I surely do understand it now. If dreams were ponies, paupers would ride. If dreams were ponies, paupers would ride. And of course, for the boys here, paupers, P-A-U-P-E-R, is basically, would be the person who is the person with the one talent that was afraid and buried it instead of going out and working and investing. Now, I'd like us to look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 31. There's sort of a isolated verse there that's worth looking at. Matthew 13, verse 31. Matthew 13, verse 31. Matthew verse, chapter 13, verse 31. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31 from the Geneva translation. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man taketh and soweth in his field. Let's read that again. Another parable he put forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed, which a man taketh and soweth in his field. Now, hopefully we all understand that a mustard seed is a very tiny seed. yet it grows up into a very strong plant. A tiny little seed, okay? The Lord has given us a tiny little seed at our birth, so to speak, and if we invest it wisely, if we don't hide it, if we, because of the law of use, we're either going to use it or lose it, that tiny little seed, if it's not planted in the ground to grow, we'll probably lose it because it's tiny, but it grows. And the other thing, and I remember this a number of years ago that the Lord told me this, and it's certainly a scriptural, that we must never despise or be impatient with small beginnings. And when I think of it, I look out in the backyard here, a lot of times we sit on the back deck and eat a meal out there, and I look and think, over 11 years ago, when I looked at this, you know, jungle out in the back there, and said, okay, little by little, I'm going to work on this with what I had. I didn't have much in the way of tools or whatever at the time. Didn't have much in the way of the finances I needed to do things, but I did what I could do with what I had, and now it's grown up into a pretty good place. So once again, it's using those spiritual principles, use it or lose it. And if I hadn't taken care of it, maybe I would have lost it. Now, while we're talking about the principles of God's kingdom, it's probably wise to talk about the laws of Satan's kingdom. And here's the laws of Satan's kingdom. Have it now with a splash, quick money, quick things, quick success. Okay?
Do as thou wilt. Isn't that
this? Yeah, do as thou wilt. Do whatever comes naturally. Yeah, whatever you feel, do it. But you see, what does that produce? And it was interesting, last night, Cameron and I watched a very good movie, and a woman who was actually the birth mother of this girl who had been put out to adoption said to her, you know, I got to tell you something. I always thought the grass was greener on the other side of the hill, and I've been chasing after it all these many years, and I haven't found it. It's not true. Because she was following Satan's kingdom and his kingdom principles, which is have it now with a splash, quick money, quick things, quick success. But God's kingdom is not like that. The law of use in God's kingdom governs genuine, lasting security, genuine, lasting prosperity. We either use it or we lose it. Use it or we lose it. We wouldn't be like that unprofitable servant. And I believe I understand now, as the Holy Spirit has taught me and as I've seen in life, and what changes we can see in our country for people that are unprofitable because they're bearing whatever that they have out of their skills. Look at all the talented people that are sitting in front of a TV set doing nothing but waiting for their welfare check. I recognize there are people that are disabled in one way or the other, but they still have gifts. They're still people. And if they were applied to the law of use and use it or and not lose it, and I've seen people, for example, that had no legs that became very powerful weightlifters. I've seen all kinds of things where people caught on to these principles of God's kingdom and were able to do great things. People that couldn't walk, yet they could get on the telephone and talk people to people, sell them things or advise people or help people, or somebody like Charles Krauthammer, who's on television as a newscaster, he's a paraplegic. Most people don't even know that. But he has the ability to talk, he has the ability to think, and he has the ability of seeing and advising. So use it or lose it. That's God's way. The principle of use is one of the 10 laws of the kingdom that are only secret to people that aren't paying attention, only secret to people who don't want to pray and study God's Word. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for showing us these things. We're very thankful to know them and to employ them in our lives, to use them so we don't lose them. And thank you. This is your way of prosperity, not the world's way, but your way, and it's lasting. And we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory to God. We love you, Jesus. Amen.